Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
I'm excited about doing this study on the book of Hebrews. Now when I say we're doing the book of Hebrews, I mean, we're not covering everything. You understand that? I mean, it's eternal. But we're going to get what we need to get at this time. The Lord's directed me to do this. And I don't know if we're going to do the whole book or not. That's the direction we're going. We'll see how far we go with it. But we're just going to follow him. There's some specific things he wants to get over to us. Some specific things he wants us to get a hold of. Because we need it. So you're ready for what you need today. Right? You need this today. You're not just here to be a spectator and watch and see whatever happens. You're here to get what God specifically has for you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to talk to you. And that's what we talked about last week. How chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews talks about how God speaks to us. How about a quick review of chapter 1? And we'll still get through chapter 2. If you're a good hearer. If you're paying attention, if you're not paying attention, I got to repeat myself 10 times, you know, for it to sink in. But if you're paying attention and you're on the edge of your seat and you know God's got your answer because he is your answer, his word is your answer, then we're going to be able to go through this thing and get everything he's got for us, and there'll be no waste, nothing will be wasted, and we'll get everything that he is serving out of his kitchen. All right? There's a lot that's been cooked in the kitchen of heaven. So God wants us, all I am is a waiter. That's all I am. I'm just coming to you, and I'm just like the waiter. I'm not the one that cooked it. It wasn't my idea. I didn't put the menu together. I'm just a server. I'm just a waiter. And I'm just going to serve this word of God to you today. All right? All right. All right. All right. So we talked about how God speaks directly to us. Chapter 1 started off talking about in times past, mainly Old Testament times, God spoke through the prophets. But now, under the new covenant, he speaks to us through his Son, who is the creator of all things and who is himself God. Jesus is God come in the flesh, and he is our Lord, and he, God, speaks to us today. And we hear from him directly, so that the very word of God, the written word of God, and the preaching of the word, the testifying of the word, the serving of the word by his ministers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, are just confirmations of what God is speaking to our heart. That's why we say amen a lot. Yes, amen. It bears witness to our spirit that yes, yes, that's right. You might never ever have heard it before with your physical ears, but when you hear it, when you hear the word being preached, something on the inside goes, yeah, that's right. That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen doesn't necessarily mean you knew this message before it was ministered with your head. But it bore witness with your heart because God is speaking his word to your heart all the time. You are his child and he is speaking his word to you all the time. So now this time together is helping to get our minds renewed to the word of God that God's been speaking to us all the time. So say this, say, I hear from God all the time. Yeah, see, just because your head's not conscious of it a lot of times, that's why we need to get in the word. That's why we need to get under the preaching. That's so that we can recognize what God is saying to us. But God is speaking to us all the time. He's talking to us. So we need to be just more attentive and be listening to what the Spirit of God is leading us to do, leading us to say. He's the one leading us and guiding us in every way, in everywhere we go in life. Amen. We looked at 1 John chapter 2 where it says, you have an anointing of the Holy One and you know all things. You have an anointing and that anointing abides in you. A couple other scriptures I want to add to that is John chapter 6 verse 45. John 6 45 reads, it is written in the prophets and they shall all be taught by God. So notice again, written in the prophets is making reference to the Old Testament, and the prophets were saying that the day's coming where everybody, not just the prophets, but everybody shall be taught by God. They're going to hear from God personally for themselves. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. That's why you're at church today, because you have heard from the Father. Nobody in their natural mind would be here this morning unless the Father was drawing them. Nobody comes to Jesus unless the Father has drawn them, unless they've heard from the Father. See? So we're hearing from them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 9, it says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." You yourselves are taught by God to love one another. That's something he's teaching us all the time. Has God dealt with you at all this week about walking in love with anybody? See, you just thought that was your thoughts. No, that's the Holy Spirit. God teaching you to walk in love. So we're hearing from him. Now, not only, we talked about in the Old Testament, they didn't just hear from the prophets, but they heard through angels. But now, under the new covenant, they are ministering for God's people. They are ministering, verse 14 of chapter 1 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation?" That's you and I. Angels are not sons. They are servants. We also are servants. We also serve God, but we're first and foremost sons of God, sons and daughters of God. In verse 4 of Hebrews 1, it says, "Having become so much better than the angels, as he," Jesus, "has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." So Jesus has obtained a name that's greater than the angels. He is in a higher place than the angels. And the Bible tells us that you and I are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. So angels are not sons of God. They are servants. We are sons. We are members of God's own household. Verse 5 of Hebrews 1 says, "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.'" So we are the sons of God. Angels are not sons of God. And then we covered something that seemed to be a revelation to a lot of people about how in the Old Testament it makes mentions of these sons of God that came back in Noah's day. You go all the way back to Noah's day, and there were these sons of God, and a lot of people have taught that they are angels. But we know that they can't be angels because we just read, "To which of the angels has he ever said, 'You are my son?'" And the answer is none. He's never called an angel a son. So who were these sons of God back in Genesis, I believe chapter 6? These are the ones that were born to Adam and Eve before they fell into sin. Now that's a whole big thing there. And you can get more information. I think I preached that in my series on angels. I did a whole series on angels. And I believe it's in that series. So if you want more information on that, get the series. All right? So those are some of the things we covered in chapter 1. Moving over now into chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." So what's this telling us? We got to be watchful that we listen and pay attention to the things God has spoken to us, the things that he has taught us, the things that he has shown us, lest, what can happen? We could drift away. Drift away from what? Drift away from truth. Drift away from the word. Drift away from him. We can drift away from him. You know, you hear people say, well, a Christian can never lose his salvation. I agree. But a Christian can leave his salvation. A Christian can leave his salvation. And that's what that drifting away is. We can drift away from him. We got to watch. This world and the deceitfulness of sin is always working to harden our hearts, harden our spirit against God, cause us to be dull to him, to begin to take his word lightly. The cares of this life have a way of just weighing us down so that our ears are just too heavy to hear what God's saying. Our ears are just too heavy, and our flesh is just so dominating us that we just don't seem to have the energy to rise up from the inside to hear from God. We got to beware of that kind of stuff. Are you listening? We got to be on top of ourselves, because this is written to every one of us. Beware, lest you drift away. Remember, if we're not moving forward with God, then we're drifting away from God. We're slipping backwards from God. And we have to remind ourselves of this. Am I moving forward? Because it's a dangerous thing not to be moving forward. Because to not be moving forward is to be moving backwards. And we don't want to be moving backwards. And we got to look at our life and say, why am I saying this? Why am I doing this? What am I involved in? What are the things that are such a big deal to me in my life? And we, by looking at these things, we can examine ourselves to see, where are we? Are we moving forward, or are we drifting away? This week, did we move forward, or did we slip backwards? No, I wouldn't say I slipped backwards. Not much happened this week. You slipped backwards. Because with God, it's always faith to faith to faith to faith to glory to glory to better to better to greater to greater. That's how it is. And we should not accept anything less than that from our lives. We got to be on top of ourselves. Keep ourselves from drifting away. We want to get right into the very center of the word we've heard. Get right into the heart of God's word. We don't want to just be on the outskirts of it. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. I encourage you, when you hear the word of God being preached, don't just say, oh, it's a good word. There's a depth to it that you don't know yet. Dig, get in there. This is what God's saying to us. This is what he's talking to us about. That's important. Let's make sure we're getting all of it. Let's get right into the middle of everything God's saying to us. And not just have a little bit of the word, but let's get right into the heart of the word, which is getting right into the heart of God. And remember this, all our provision is in the very center of his promises. When we get into the promises of God, that's where the provision is. How many people need some provision? How many want God to supply all your needs? We want God to take care of you. Huh? Well, how does he do it? He does it through his word. You believing his word. You in faith concerning his promises. So get in the promises, and in the promises is where the provision is. Well, God, why? When? Get in the word. Well, I know the word. I quote it all the time. Get in it. Get down. Get in there. Dig into it. So it's a living thing. It's alive to you. Can you say amen? Amen. We experience the fullness of our redemption when we give our full attention to the word, to the truth. That's when we experience the fullness of our redemption, is when we give our full attention. We miss out on so much when we just give a little of ourselves to the truth. We miss out on so much. We miss out on so much. So we're not trying to ease a guilty conscience and just see how much we can get, how little we can do to get by. Man, we want to dig in there, right? Because God's got such great things for us. Verse 2. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great is salvation. Let me just stop there and just say this. When we read verse 2 again, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Let me read this from the Common English Version. It says, the message spoken by angels proved to be true, and all who disobeyed and rejected it were punished as they deserved. So then he's letting us know, do you think it's going to be a less punishment for those that drift away and neglect the truth today? He says, no, it's even going to be worse. Why? Because to whom more much is given, God expects more of us. We're hearing directly from him. So more is expected of us. More has been entrusted to us. That has made us more responsible for our life and the things that God has given to us. We have a responsibility. And the angels know it, and the demons know it. The fallen angels know it. And we have to understand this. God is not the one that's in the punishing business. God is not going to reward his sons and daughters with bad things. God is not going to punish you. But you say, well, you just read it. It says, how much worse is it going to be for those that neglect the truth, that drift from the truth today? Yeah, but it didn't say God's going to do it. We've got to get this picture out of our mind that God's the one punishing us. No, I like what Jeremiah chapter 2 says. Jeremiah 2 verse 19 says it this way, your own wickedness will correct you, and your backsliding, your drifting away, will rebuke you. In other words, you are going to reap what you sow. If you sow tomatoes in the ground, don't sit there and expect God to cause pumpkins to come up. That ain't gonna happen. There's a law of sowing and reaping. And so if we drift from him, we're not just drifting from him and neglecting him. We're turning to something else. And that something is a someone, and it's demons, it's devils, it's the devil, it's Satan. And so when we drift from the light, we are embracing the darkness, embracing the darkness. So if you embrace darkness, if you embrace a devil, you're probably going to get a devil. You're going to get a devil-sized reward. You embrace devil, you get rewarded with devil. Okay, God had nothing to do with it. I said, God had nothing to do with it. Don't blame God for reaping trouble because of disobedience and drifting from him. God's not the one behind it. That's not his business. I'm so glad I know that. See? So no matter what kind of negative thing might be going on in my world, in my life, I know this, number one, it isn't God doing it. Because if God's doing it, I can't fight it. If God's doing it, I mean, I'm in big trouble. But I know God's not doing it. I know that my own backsliding has caused it, which is a good thing, because if I slide back, I could move forward again. I can get that corrected, right? So I know if things are going in the wrong direction, then I'm probably going in the wrong direction. And so I can stop that. Where am I going here? Why are things getting so dark? Why is it getting so dark? Because you're walking into it. You're walking into a dark room. Wouldn't it be silly if you see a dark room and you're in this beautiful bright room and you start walking into the dark room, you start going, why is it getting dark? Why is it getting dark? Because you're walking into a dark room. Ah, yes. Well, it really is that way spiritually. We got to understand that. So God isn't the one punishing us. He's not the one dishing out these kind of rewards. No, that comes from Satan, whom we are embracing when we drift from the Lord. That scares me. Does that scare anybody? That should scare. It should scare the devil out of your life. Right? It just scare the devil out of your life. It just scare you out of the devil's presence. It scare you, get out of there. Get out of there. Why would anybody want to go fellowship with demons? Get out of there. He's a killer. He's crazy. Don't give him any place. Run from him. Stay in your place of authority and dominate him. I like that place. I like dominating the devil. And thank God you and I can dominate the devil today, as we'll see here as we go on in chapter 2. So now, verse 4. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Let me read this from the Common English again. God himself showed that his message was true by working all kinds of powerful miracles and wonders. He also gave his Holy Spirit to anyone he chose to. No, what's this telling us here? It's telling us our God proves his word to be true by the power of the Holy Spirit. God backs his word up with power. How do I know this is the truth? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is connected to it. The Holy Spirit is actively a part of the word of God, of the truth. So when we lay hold of the truth, man, we're laying hold of God's power line. We're laying hold of God's power. Again, he's the one that brings the provision to pass in our life. He's the one that brings it all to pass. But we have the power of God. God confirms his word with signs following, friends. Let's not forget that. You forget that and the gospel will come boring to you. Just become a dry, dead letter. Another teaching. Another day of doctrinization. That's not what this is about. This is about laying hold of that power line of heaven. Oh, glory to God. When we get a hold of the word, we get a hold of God's power. And we can expect God to perform his word in our life, to bring to pass everything he says he is and everything he says he does. If he said it, he does it. That's who he is. That's who he is today, right now, in our life. Expect it. Expect him to show up, manifest himself in your life. What do you need today? He's got it. He's it. It's all in his presence. Let him manifest. Let him manifest everything you have need of in life. Oh, hallelujah. Our gospel is a gospel of power. God's wisdom is power. In fact, the Bible says over in the book of Corinthians that our faith is not to be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, not just in teaching, but in the power of God. I like what the Apostle Paul said over in Romans chapter 1. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, man. You see, if you don't know the gospel's power, then you'll be ashamed of it. You won't want to share it with anybody. You won't want to talk to other people about it. You won't want people that know you to come to this church. Because you never know what's going to happen. People get electrocuted here. Things happen. Right? You never know what's going to happen. You're ashamed of the gospel because you just think it's flesh. You think it's just flesh. Someone running around the room. You think that's just flesh. Someone falling on the floor. You think that's just flesh. Somebody shouting and carrying. You think it's just flesh. So you're ashamed. But it's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's the power of God transforming lives. It's the power of God changing people. Are you kidding me? It's the power of God driving devils out. It's the power of God delivering people. We're going to stand there like a bunch of religious judges thinking, oh, I wouldn't want any of my friends to be here. Well, you got the wrong friends, honey. Or you got the wrong idea about the Bible and church. It's the power of God. It's very offensive to God for people to walk away just thinking, oh, these people laughing and carrying on. And I don't know if they're really falling because of the power of God. I never fell because of the power of God. So if I don't fall under the power of God, nobody falls under the power of God. So it's just not real. Oh, please. Seriously? You're in trouble. You're a drifter. Don't be a drifter. Get a hold of the power of God again. Remind yourself, God manifests himself, therefore anything can happen. Jesus walks into a synagogue, people start foaming at the mouth. That never happened before. Because the power of God never come into those synagogues until Jesus came in there one day. Jesus came walking into the synagogue, and all of a sudden, one of the deacons, I mean, he was one of the most religious people in the church, probably, in the synagogue. But when Jesus walked in there, he was such a nice guy, I don't know what happened to him. He didn't take his medicine this morning, that's what it was. No, Jesus is there. Jesus is there. Things can get crazy when Jesus is there. But people can get healed when Jesus is there. People can get delivered when Jesus is there. People can get their lives transformed when Jesus is there. And Jesus is here. I got news for you. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. Praise God, he is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is the power of God in our midst. Verse 5. For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. Notice this. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 have a lot to say about angels and also our place in creation and who angels are to us. He has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. In other words, angels are not in charge of this world. Angels are not in charge of this world. You know who are? You know who is? We are. We are. We're the ones in charge of angels and of everything in this world. Think about that. Because it said, chapter 1, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation? That's for you and I. That's just to us. That's for us. They serve us. Wow. They'll do what we say, when, of course, what we say is in line with what God says. What's in line with God's word? Verse 6. But one testifies in a certain place, saying, what is man that you're mindful of him? I like the way this is written here in the New King James. Notice that we're talking about angels, right? Let's look at verse 5 and then flow into verse 6. He says, for he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one testifies in a certain place. One what? Could be an angel, right? It could be read that way. That one, an angel, testifies in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? So angels look and they're seeing these human beings and they're seeing God's care for us. They see how much God loves us and that God himself comes in the form of a man and serves us. Washes the feet of disciples and allows man to spit on him and nail him to a cross. What is man that you visit him and that you take note of him and care for him like this? Let me read this from the Common English. You made him a little lower than the... No, verse 6. So what makes you care about humans? Why are you concerned for weaklings such as we? And of course, it's writing it here from the position of a man. Because again, you can read it either way. This is something the psalmist said, or it's something an angel said that a psalmist said. Because remember, the prophets of old were inspired by angels to write many times. It came through angels, right? So an angel says something and the prophet writes it down. So either way, they both said it. So you can look at it either way. And he says, what makes you care about us humans? Why are you concerned for weaklings such as we? And think of how powerful angels are. I mean, one angel could take out an entire army. We see that in the scriptures. One angel take out an entire army like it's nothing. These are incredible beings. And they're trying to figure it out. And the truth is, humans are pathetic in themselves. but powerful in their God. You, if you understood how pathetic you were, you would never want to go outside without the power of God. You'd be embarrassed. You'd be embarrassed. It'd be like going out not properly dressed. You wouldn't want to go out not properly dressed. Well, spiritually, you don't want to go out without the power of God. Because you're pathetic. You're pathetic. I said it. It's true. We are. We're weak and we're pathetic in and of ourselves. But oh, thank God, we're not in and of ourselves, are we? No, we're in Christ Jesus. Praise God, so we can brag and be bold that we are more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave His life for us. Oh, hallelujah. We're the head, not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Yes, we're great. We're wonderful. We're awesome in Him. Apart from Him, we're pathetic, pitiful, weak, embarrassing. Apart from Him. Got to have them both. Got to have that proper balance. When you understand your weakness, you'll cling to His strength. And His strength then becomes your strength. Verse 7. You made Him a little lower. Talking about man. You made Him a little lower than the angels. You crowned Him with glory and honor and set Him over the works of your hands. You put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we do not yet see all things put under Him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Now, there's a lot here. This is so powerful. Let me read this from the Common English, verses 7 through 9. You made us lower than the angels for a while. Yet, now watch this, You have crowned us with glory and honor. Now, what's the glory? The glory of God is the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. That's the definition that the Lord gave me by revelation. The glory of God is the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. I believe this is what Adam was wearing in the garden before he fell into sin. But when he fell into sin, he lost that glory. Because Romans chapter 3 or 4 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They have fallen short of this manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. But through Jesus, we're clothed with it again. Man lost it. Man did not have it all throughout the Old Testament. But Jesus brings it back to us. He crowns us with this glory. Whoo, hallelujah. Crowns us with this glory and honor. Then verse 8, you have put everything under our power. So we got His glory, and now everything, ever say everything, is under our power. Huh? Everything's under our power. God has put everything under our power and has not left anything out of our power. That includes the angels. But still, we don't see it all under our control. There's still a lot of things we don't see totally under our control yet. Verse 9, what we do see is Jesus. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels. That sounds like what we were. Isn't that what it just said about us? Verse 7, go back to verse 7. You made us lower than the angels for a while. Okay? That doesn't sound very good. But then we look and see Jesus. And He was made a little lower than the angels because of God's gift of undeserved grace. Jesus died for everyone. And now that Jesus has suffered and died, He is crowned with glory and honor. So notice, first it starts off by saying that we, man, has been made lower than the angels. And then it says, we've been crowned, though, with glory and honor. Then it says, Jesus, he was made a little lower than the angels and is crowned with glory and honor. So in other words, if you want to know the kind of authority and power that you have, just look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus. I don't see everything under my control. Well, whatever you see under Jesus' control, that's what's under your control now. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus died, and the thing that isn't totally under our control right now is death, because we're all going to die. We're all going to physically die. Nobody can say, I'm staying here forever. I'm going to stay here forever. You can't do that. You'll do that once death is thrown into the lake of fire. That hasn't happened yet. But, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, you do have dominion over death's minions and everything associated to death, like sickness and disease. Death can't just come in and take you out. And you need to know that. We have authority over sickness and disease. We have authority over death, and that death can't come in and take us out prematurely. But yet that doesn't mean we will never die. Because even Jesus died. See? So we will have to die. We will have to die. But we're not afraid of death. We're not afraid of death. Because Jesus defeated death for us. We've already, technically, spiritually, already passed from death to life. Right? So the only death we experience in this life is the putting off of our body, and that's just stepping into greater levels of glory. That's all that means for you and I. Ain't nothing bad about that. Hello, somebody. So we are going to die. We understand that. But the day's going to come where there'll be no more death and nobody dies. Okay? But until that time, when death is destroyed forever, you and I still can dominate death in this life. So that we are not taken out prematurely. That's why Jesus said time and time again, he said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. And that's how it's going to be for you and I. That's how it's going to be for every one of us. We're not going to say, when your number's up, it's up. No, you're in charge. Now, if you have that kind of attitude, then your number might be up this afternoon. It might be. But it doesn't have to be. I said it doesn't have to be. Because you can have the same attitude Jesus had. Nobody takes my life from me. I'll lay it down when I'm done. When's that going to be? When I'm satisfied. Because with long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. That's what he said, Psalm 91. Long life, he'll satisfy me. I'm not quite satisfied yet. Well, when will you ever be satisfied? When I've completed everything I know God's called me to do. When I've run my race and finished it. And I'll know when I do that too. Praise God. As sure as I know I'm in the race right now and I know I'm doing what he's called me to do, I'll know when I'm done. And when I know when I'm done, I'll say goodbye. Hasta la vista, baby. Beam me up, Jesus. And we'll just head on out home. Come on, somebody. That's how it's supposed to be. Oh, you don't see that very much. Well, let's see it with you. Why don't you start a new tradition in your family? Dying when you want to die. When you're ready to die. When you're done with what God's called you to do. Amen. Now, if you're never going to get on with it and do what God's called you to do, then, well, you might as well just keel over now. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They have no interest in doing the will of God. They're doing their own thing, and they keel over at random times. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. Because we're busy doing the Father's business. Nobody can take my life from me. I got a job to do. And I'm too busy for God to be lying up in a bed somewhere sick. I can't be bedfast. I'm a busy person. I got a lot to do for Jesus. Verse 10. Actually, I'm just going to read from the Common English Bible. Verse 10. Everything belongs to God, and all things were created by his power. So God did the right thing when he made Jesus perfect by suffering, as Jesus led many of God's children to be saved and to share in his glory. Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. Praise God. Are you getting this? We're all part of the family of God, and we all share in his glory. Everything that's his is ours, friend. It belongs to every family member. The same glory and honor he's crowned with, he's given to you and I. It's all ours. And verse 11, Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. Somebody say, I'm holy. What does that mean? That means you're set apart unto God. I'm set apart unto God. Well, what do you mean? By that, well, nothing can touch me that I don't want touching me. Like the devil. I'm too holy for the devil. I'm too holy for the devil. The devil try to come in and touch your life and try to mess things up in your life. You got to look at him and say, I'm too holy for you. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. I am set apart for God. Why? Because I fast and pray every day? No, because of Jesus. Jesus has made and is making me holy. He's setting us apart, praise God. More and more and more and more and more. Bringing us more, further and further and further into the very depth of God. Getting us more and more enveloped in the reality of him, in the reality of the truth of his word. So we're just submerged in him. And the devil can't get anywhere near us. And I like that. I see that with Jesus, don't you? I mean, Jesus comes walking on the scene, and I mean, there's demon-possessed people, and the Bible says they see him from afar, and they start coming out of the guys. The demons, they start coming out of these guys. Jesus didn't even say, come out. Jesus is just getting out of the boat. These guys are up on top of a hill. Ah! I love that, don't you? They were feeling his presence. He just stepped on the land. That's how it's supposed to be you and I. We just come walking in a room. Hi. And it's not just us. It's glory. Oh, hallelujah. It's the manifest and awesomeness of God. We got to see this, friend. You got to see it. See it. Believe it. Know it. And activate it by your faith. See, that's walking in faith, is walking in these realities. We got to walk in these realities, man. You're not just something that evolved and ended up here. You hear from God. You're led by the Spirit. Angels are watching you. They're following you, waiting for you to tell them to do something. And somebody messes with you like a devil, and you just turn to your angel and say, take him out back. Take him out back, Charlie. Michael, take care of the boy. Yeah, boss. Ching. Come on. Do you see this? I'm not just having fun. I am having fun, but not just having fun. This is good stuff, man. Woo! Hallelujah! Come on, somebody. Man, we've got these angels standing here waiting to help us. We're out here trying to figure it out and do everything our own strength. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation? Whoo, hallelujah. Man, I acknowledge my angels all the time. I'll quote the scripture that I think is Psalm 103. I said, bless the Lord, all you his angels, who excel in strength, heeding the voice of his word. It is written. And then I start declaring the word. And I know they heed the voice. I give voice to the word. And they heed it. And I say, now I'm about to go to bed. And it is written, no evil will befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Make sure that's true. Good night. And yes, boss. They love it, though. They love it. They excel in strength, heeding the voice of the word. It strengthens them. That's what the Bible says. It strengthens them. Get the series. It'll be good for you. Praise God. Somebody say, I'm sharing in Jesus' glory. He makes me holy, set apart from devils. I'm a part of his family. I love this now. Watch verse 11 again. Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. This is why he isn't ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Jesus calls us brothers and sisters. Can you imagine that? I mean, here's the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Creator of all things. And he calls us brothers and sisters. My brother, my sister. Man, that's equality. He puts himself and us on the same level. The same level. We're part of this amazing family, guys. This is Christianity. This is what it's all about. This is awesome. We need to preach it to ourselves all the time. And Hebrews is just full of this. Verse 12. He even said to God. Oh, I love this. He even said to God. I'm still reading out of the common English here. He even said to God, I will tell. This is Jesus now. I will tell them. Who? My brothers and sisters. That's you and I. I will tell them your name and sing your praises when they come together to worship. Oh, hallelujah. Did you hear that? I will tell them your name and sing your praises when they come together to worship. Jesus is singing God's praises with us when we come together and worship. Now, you either believe that or you don't, but that's what the Bible says. As we're praising and worshiping God, Jesus is singing praises to God the Father right there with us. Whoo, hallelujah. That is so, so awesome. That is so awesome. Verse 13. Remember, he also said in Matthew 18, he said, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. I'm right there in the midst. So we've come together in his name. Jesus is here today, friends. Verse 13, he also said, I will trust God. Then he said, here I am with the children God has given me. He's right here in the midst of us. We are his brethren. We're all of the same family. We're to walk even as he walked. He is with us and we are with him. He is in us, and we are in him. He is the vine, we are the branches. Verse 14, we are people of flesh and blood. I'm still reading from common English. I'm just going to stay there. We are people of flesh and blood. This is why Jesus became one of us. He died to destroy the devil who had power over death. But he also died to rescue all of us who live each day in fear of dying. Now, when there's no fear of death, there's no more bondage. It's the fear of death that gives place to bondage, oppression, gives place to the devil. Like I always say, without fear, it's impossible to please the devil. Without fear, it's impossible to please the devil. Just like without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we're in faith concerning God and what Jesus did. We're not going to get in fear. Jesus whipped the devil who had the control of fear, the control of death over us. He had death, he held death over us and thus held us in fear. But now he can't hold death over us. Hallelujah. So he can no longer hold us in fear. And friend, if you don't fear dying, what would there be to fear? If you don't fear dying, what would there be to fear? Think about that. I mean, what's worse than dying, right? I mean, that's the end of it. Forget about the end of this job. I'm so afraid I'm going to lose my job. Well, you're afraid of losing your life? Oh, no, Jesus took care of that. So why are you afraid? You're not afraid of losing your life, but you're afraid of losing your job? You're not afraid of losing your life, but you're afraid. See, that wouldn't make sense. Now, we still have to get a hold of this reality that Jesus took care of death. If he took care of death, he took care of everything. If you don't fear dying, what would you fear? Nothing. Nothing. You would fear absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. I'm so afraid I'm going to lose my love in San Francisco. No. Are you afraid you're going to lose your life? No. Well, then don't worry about her or him or whoever they are. Verse 16, moving right along. Verse 16, Jesus clearly did not come to help angels, but he did come to help Abraham's descendants. Think about that statement. In other words, There is no salvation for fallen angels. Think about that. The angels fell, and there was no redemption. There was no salvation. Jesus didn't die for them. But he did die for you and I. Didn't he? He never died for anyone else. But he died for you and I, thus declaring to all of creation how special you and I are to him, and that he loves us more than he loves any other created thing. He gives aid to us. He brings salvation to us. Verse 17. He had to be one of us so he could serve God as our merciful and faithful high priest and sacrifice himself for the forgiveness of our sins. And now that Jesus has suffered and was tempted, he can help anyone else who is tempted. First of all, we see Jesus suffered so that you and I wouldn't have to. Jesus took our pain so that you can live a pain-free life. Jesus bore our sins so that you didn't have to be a slave to sin. So if you have temptations that are harassing you, you've got temptation, you've got desires, you've got things in your life that are robbing you of walking straight, walking with God, you need to open your mouth and you need to speak to it. And you need to tell those things, hey, Jesus took you for me. I'm not taking you. Jesus bore you in his body. He bore these sins in his body on that tree for me. I'm not bearing it. I'm not carrying this. Devil comes with a temptation. Say, no, Jesus already took that. Jesus already fell into that for me. He already went that way for me. He took that for me. Hallelujah. And he went to hell for me also. He took the punishment of those things too. Any kind of sickness, any kind of problem. Nope, Jesus did not take my pain in vain. He took it so I could live a pain-free life. Now, God was already merciful and compassionate before Jesus came. How much more? Now that he is touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, having been made weak himself according to the flesh. Jesus sympathizes with everything we go through in life. That doesn't mean he's going to give us a lot of sympathy. He gives us himself. He gives us the cure. He gives us the answer. He doesn't just come and play, I feel so sorry for you, my sweetie. I sure wish you weren't going through these things. That's not what he's doing. That's not what he's doing. He says, here is my sword. Here are my weapons. Go ahead and speak. I've given you angelic assistance. Right? Because you're a part of the family. Huh? Oh, man, we got divine protection. Woo! Hallelujah! Jesus bore it all, friends. And he's given us his authority. That's what this is all about. And as awesome as angels are, you and I are above them. He's put us in charge of all creation. And as we learn about it, praise God, creation gets happy because that means they're going to be more and more set free from the grip of Satan and all the demonic powers that have covered this earth. Amen. And friend, we're in this nation. I got news for you. Voting is great. Praying and speaking even greater. Don't do one without the other. But listen, we can change our nation. We can change things. We dominate. Oh, if the church just rises up, praise God, he'll heal the land. He'll change the landscape all around us. Amen? Hallelujah! Somebody shout, I got authority. I'm a part of God's family. Jesus is my brother. Angels, listen to me. I have authority and power to change my circumstances. I am not a victim. I am more than a conqueror. And I'm overcoming because I'm holy, set apart for God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand up and praise him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo. glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.